Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
231.
231.
Hey, Hope.
How's it going?
It's going. How's it going for you?
It's going well.
Nice. Other than your boots being too big, your boots are too big for your britches, I guess?
Yeah.
You should have got smaller britches.
Should have.
Yeah.
That would have been better.
How was your week?
Week was pretty good.
Good.
Not weak.
Good.
How was your week?
Week. No, it was all right. It's a holiday week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bunch of, it's super cram packed with nothing that does anything.
It was right.
Just, you know, a lot of cleaning for people who don't care.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, just doing things you're supposed to do when, you know, when it's a holiday week. So, obviously my Tuesday and Wednesday were highly compressed because that's how corporate America works. You don't actually get days off. You just compact the days you get off into the days you work.
Right.
So I got to do that on Tuesday and Wednesday, work a little bit extra to get everything ready to not work Thursday and Friday, but still be bothered by emails because that's just fucking life now.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's parents came into town Wednesday afternoon. So we didn't do, like, I didn't do a traditional Thanksgiving thing. We didn't cook or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up going to my cousin Amber's for Thanksgiving over there. I stayed home intentionally because I just needed some decompression time. I hadn't had any in a long time. And so I stayed home because I had to edit some stuff. So it turned into work again.
Yeah.
But they were also playing. So Erin and her dad were part of a D&D game at the Air D&D Experience.
Nice.
So they both jumped in on that, had a great time. And then the rest of the week was just a mix of, you know, entertaining and a lot of movie. They like movies and TV and stuff. So a lot of watching stuff while, you know, and then I like I said, I edited quite a bit.
Yeah,
I just got notes back from my boss. I'm totally pissed because not a filmmaker should not be giving notes to a filmmaker that are terrible.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes because they're you know, one of them, like every time a non-filmmaker gives a filmmaker notes, oh, can you put the blah, you know, can you put him in a hat? Nope. Didn't film it.
Yeah.
And no, I don't have Blender skills like that. No, no. And then like four notes following that require that note. That's impossible. So additionally, some are really bad. Just bad structural notes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to say no. On Tuesday night, again, I could not work, and I really should have. So Tuesday night, I went down to Tacoma, which always sucks, to film Friendsgiving, which is Stephanie Ann Johnson's live performance. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Tacoma sucks. The performance was great. So we went to the Mule, filmed that. It went okay.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of technical problems. I am going to say no to live stuff moving forward. I don't like doing live filming. It's not enjoyable. It's usually extremely stressful because when you're filming, when you're filming a scripted event, that is the event. You're filming and you're there to film and it's about getting stuff in the camera. When you're filming a live event, it's about the live event. And then you're also supposed to get stuff in the camera, but you can't interrupt the live event to do it.
Right.
So, like, this was in a, I don't know if you've ever been in the Mule in Tacoma.
I have not.
Super long. It's like a trailer style. Like, it's like a double wide trailer in terms of its dimensions. So it's really long, really narrow. And so we had to film around people and over people, and there was nowhere to set up really and no lights to speak of. I think we got what we got is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work for what they want, I think. But yeah, I'm just going to say no to live events moving forward. I don't like doing it. It's always frustrating and it's always extremely, extremely disappointing because as the filmmaker, I know I'm not giving this person the best thing I could.
Right.
Simply because I'm not going to push, you know, a person out of the way to get a shot.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm filming for film, you better fucking believe I'm going to push a person out of the way to get a shot.
Right.
But if I'm filming for a live event where the live event's the key thing, we couldn't set up, like everywhere we tried to set up, we had it set up really well. You can't do that. It's a live bar. Fuck. Okay. We can't do that. People are going to be coming in. Fuck,
yeah.
You know, so.
You've got to have some parameters that say, yeah. Okay, this is a live event, but we're also shooting. Well,
we didn't get those, but we,
right.
I think we did okay. My tripod broke, big one.
Okay.
The secondary tripod broke. So that sucked. Everything sucked in terms of the concert was great.
Mm-hmm.
Stephanie puts on a good show, but everything in terms of my job there fucking sucked.
Yeah.
So, oh well. Let's see. So I edited what I was mostly editing. I've got three projects that I was working on. One was Friendsgiving. One is a project for work, which is the one I was talking about at the beginning.
Patreon subscribers have a sneak peek to.
I was just going to say Patreon subscribers have the correct version. Whatever my boss makes me change is going to make it suck. But Patreon subscribers have the correct version of that. So go check that out if you're a Patreon subscriber. And then I, of course, still have to finish it. I've edited the first half of Veterans Day.
Right.
But I have not edited the second half. And I still need to do that. I have fixed the sound on the second half. So at least that's ready to go. But I still need to go in and do all the cutting in and cutting out stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't know if you got a chance to look at the first half yet.
I have not had any time that is mine yet.
It's cool. I am really, really worried that your scene is just going to be unrecoverable. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I don't know why we just didn't light it for this since it was a dress, but whatever.
Because the light plot had to remain for the show that was already up.
Yeah.
They didn't want to rehang anything.
Well, they had a couple of lights that they weren't using that they could have, but they didn't. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. The sound was awful.
Yeah.
But I was able to get it mostly recovered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all Bo wanted. So Bo got what he wanted.
Yep.
And also if you're patrons, there's a sneak peek of that available. Yes. The first half, and then I'm going to try and get the second half up. I don't know when. Hopefully soon, but go check that out. I was, for the most part, just kind of getting through the last week, so that's about it. I had to do a bunch of ADR for that work thing. Realized how much that sucks when you don't have all of the audio gear in the house, because the audio gear is currently being used to record a potentially famous one of these days bands in Sacramento. So, but that's all on its way back. So it just sucked on Saturday. I couldn't, you know, I had to, use my podcasting mic.
Yes.
And that's not so good for Foley. Mm-hmm. You really need a boom for Foley, but whatever, got it done. And then got to play a little bit of, still no Red Dead because to play Red Dead, I have to have like 2 or 3 hours blocked out.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I have maybe a half an hour at a time. So I grabbed, the Capcom Beat 'Em Up bundle,
which nice.
If you're into old school arcades, highly recommend it. It's very good. So I played through Battle Circuit. That takes about 20-25 minutes from beginning to end, so that was a lot of fun. Played through it again with Aaron Saturday night, and that was a lot of fun too. But yeah, it's very, very, very much a recommended game if you're at all into arcades, because it's their arcade beat 'em ups. It's not console beat 'em ups. So, oh, okay. Battle Circuit is a really, really weird ass, very Japanese, kooky nuts game where like one of the characters is riding a pink ostrich, one of the characters is a giant sentient plant. You know, you beat up Elvis, and you beat him up so bad he turns into Fat Elvis at one point.
Wow.
Yeah. It's you know, it's bizarre, but it's a lot of fun. Knights of the Round is probably going to be the next one we play through, which is, I remember that one very, very positively.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it remains that way. It's got an interesting mechanic where you can, I believe this is Knights of the Round. You can chop up rewards. So if a turkey leg drops, you can chop it and it'll turn into two salads so that two players can, you know, can use it, which is kind of neat. Or you can just take it off for yourself if you're an asshole. So excited to play that. That's about all I did this week. How about you?
Well, I did a whole lot of cleaning as well last week, Vets Day project on Sunday, and then trying to... Monday was another weird one before the podcast last week. Much like today, I had two things to do, and it ended up taking all day and barely got back here in time enough to do the podcast. Tuesday and Wednesday was a lot of cleaning, a lot of cooking and prep, for things for Thanksgiving. My dad, sister, and two nephews came up, and that was a lot of fun. And then I got sick, which was not a lot of fun. So that really sucked a lot. In fact, that's pretty much what I did Tuesday, was try and recover. But as you can see, the office has a floor and a rug and not a lot of clutter. I still need to go through the desks and all the storage areas that just got shit shoved into them, but it's a little better. Thanksgiving was amazing. It's always fun when there's little kids. And then Friday we went to, Pike Place Market, cause the boys had never been to Seattle and Lori hasn't been to Seattle in a long time. So we went to Pike Place Market, had a good time there, and then took the boys to the Pacific Science Center, and went and saw Live Planets, which is a really cool planetary show. And had a good time there. Then went out to dinner. Had a nice dinner. Came back on Thanksgiving. I finally figured out how to make mashed potatoes, which is cauliflower. And the key is this. Bake the cauliflower 400 degrees for 20 to 25 minutes. Or, when there's too much shit in the oven, throw it on the barbecue. At high for a while, and then medium for a while, and then kick it up again. But basically, cook that stuff so it's nice and soft, but not steaming it, not boiling it, so that you get rid of the moisture. 4 ounces of cream cheese, 1 teaspoon of xanthan gum if you're on keto. Otherwise, you could do like a cornstarch mix. But xanthan gum has a very gelatinous type property to it, so when you thwack the mashed potatoes on the plate, they stay in that shape, and it's really awesome. Andy, I saved some for Andy for today to try. Made a keto gravy, made the key lime cheesecake, made keto pumpkin pie, which I also have for you to take away.
Oh, cool.
Tried making a keto crust. Actually, I didn't. Jen made the keto crust. I believe she made it correctly, but when I followed the directions, even though I had foil on the ends, the whole thing burnt. The pie itself is fine, but the crust, I can tell, has potential. I just got to figure out how to make it work. So that was good for all of that. And then Saturday, they went home. And, what did we do Saturday? I think we just kind of chilled out, watched some movies, took a little decompression day. And then Sunday, I went diving again off West Seattle for the first time since certification. And that was good just to kind of reaffirm that I could do all the things. And I found out that I can go diving myself whenever I want. I don't even have to take a buddy, which would be stupid. But Hans, I believe I talked about this a little bit when we had the certification. In West Seattle, there's a couple coves that everyone goes diving on, and you park on the street, and sometimes there's little alleyways and stuff that you park in. And Hans is, I don't know if he's an exchange student, but he's on a visa, student visa here. I believe from China, but it could be one of the other many Asian countries. His car was broken into. All of his money, everything that wasn't with him at the beach was gone. Student visas, all of his paperwork, all of identification, bank cards, the whole nine yards. Jesus. Busted out a window and took everything. Left the car. There was nothing of value to anyone except to him. So when I went to dive on Sunday, he was there, so he was my dive buddy. And that was really cool, and we'll probably try and work some more dives together. And tried out my new fin, snorkel, and mask, which were amazing. So that was nice. And then today, the big news is, went to the doctor.
This is a doctor for doctors?
No, this is my actual doctor as opposed to the house call doctor that stopped by. Did another A1C test, 5.6.
Nice.
Officially 36.2 pounds. And blood pressure was 118 over 70, so I've gotten to remove one of my meds.
Nice.
Marty was ecstatic through the moon. He came in and was like, wow, you look really good. And then we had our visit and he said, okay, you're still diabetic. Your pancreas is still in trauma. Your A1C is down. We may or may not get out of the medical needs that I have, but this is no time to go, okay, yay, I'm done.
Right.
Which I've always done in the past. And I said, no, no worries. This is a life change. This is this is what I'm doing. I said, I am going to be a little more lax on my vacation. I will be in Mexico. I will eat Mexican food on the boat tours and the pyramid tours. They have, you know, sack lunches, fruit.
Are you going to like Chichen Itza? Or?
We're going to go to Chichen Itza. We're still planning a couple dives. I think we're going to do one, on the reef walls over on Cozumel and two dives, off of Playa del Carmen, which is where we'll be. I'm still trying to figure out if I want to do, Jen's excited only to do it with me so that we can have the same experience, but they offer, I just missed the whale shark season, and that has been a dream of mine since childhood. Since I ever saw a whale shark on Jacques Cousteau, I have said, I want to do that. And they come down there. There's a huge March through September. They're down there all the time. But this will give me an excuse to go to Thailand or something.
Right.
And instead, in the winter months, what they have are bull and nurse sharks come to get pregnant. And you can go down and go diving with them, and you hang out at the bottom with the sharks. And they even have programs where you can feed them. I am not that much of an adrenaline junkie. But sharks get a bad name because of Meg or Jaws or any of the other things. And they are dangerous creatures. But there are many, many species that are not dangerous creatures. And because they're there, the likelihood of seeing them on any of the other dives is probably pretty good. So I may opt out of that. By the time we get there, get to the resort, take a day off to relax and acclimate to a 3-hour time zone difference. Mm-hmm. The following day, we then go to Chichen Itza. So that'll be on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That only gives me, well, there's 4 more days, but I've got to be careful not diving too late on the 4th day so that we can fly, because you got to do a 18 to 24 hour turnaround between dive and then going up in an airplane.
What did the goth guy say when he returned from Chichen Itza? Yuck, a tan.
Oh my God. They do have cenotes, which are basically sinkhole caverns. And it's not the same as a cave dive. Mm-hmm. Normally a cave dive, you go in, there's one opening that is submerged. You dive through, you have to turn around and come back, confined space. You need special certification to do that. Mm-hmm. But a cenote, you're never more than a minute away from the surface. Mm-hmm. Because they're not completely submerged, there's always some place to go to, so they don't consider them a cave dive. Mm-hmm. And in some of them, I think it will be interesting at another time. Mm-hmm. When I've seen a whole lot of wildlife and all the fun color stuff. Mm-hmm. To then go and look at geology and stalactites and freshwater current carving stone for 3,000 years. I think that will be interesting. Mm-hmm. You can do some of them that are basically big current dives. So you go in at one sinkhole and just cruise through these underground rivers, mm-hmm. and go along for the ride, mm-hmm. and then come out at another one.
Nice.
A lot of them are in the jungle and stuff, but that's not really something that Jen's really interested in. It's one of the things they offer. They'll say, you know, one day at Playa del Carmen, which is a different reef structure. Then you go across to the island at Cozumel, and there's a different reef structure. It's the second largest barrier reef structure in the world, only after the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, which is dying. So I want to get down there and see that before that goes tits up. And yeah, so I think it will be a very good trip, a nice relaxing trip. I'm gonna try and shut everything off and just enjoy, take a day to go clubbing or something. I don't know. Jen just wants to take some time walking on the beach, maybe do snorkeling, which will be a nice break from everything. I too need a little decompression time, and I think Jen does, so that will be nice. But also because of that, the holiday seasons, might as well talk about this now. We're going to be limited, as is typical through the later slash early parts of the year, on the podcast. It will be a little hit and miss. We'll keep you updated on the Discord. We'll still have questions to answer. With a little more time, we might get more than the 2 questions we got this week and 3 answers to the question we got this week. We're busy, you're busy. So, it will be a typical slowdown in production.
Indeed.
But that may open up some time for some video production.
Right. And we hope you guys, I know that we've mostly been sharing with our patrons. That's going to continue because they're patrons.
Yep.
And so it's membership has its privileges. Fine Corinthian leather. I can't believe it's not butter. Parquet. What? So, That being said, we are going to hopefully get some stuff out a little wider. Patrons will obviously get everything anywhere from a day to a week in advance if we do release stuff wide. So, you know, it's only a buck. But basically, you guys have been there for us this whole time, so we want to make sure that you're getting a little bit more.
Yeah.
If possible, just a little bit more.
And there will be some audio Patreon-only stuff that Andy and I can record on our own for the Christmas season, as we try to do.
Yep.
I'm sure there will be a Christmas
I hope so.
Podcast.
I was actually going to talk to you about that because we need to start planning soon.
Yes.
For the Christmas podcast.
Not 3 days before and then asking, yeah. Hey, what do you mean you're not available?
So, yeah. And if you guys have anything you'd like to see on the Christmas podcast, let us know. We have a lot of options. There's obviously getting drunk and singing carols like every year. Having you back is always better for that.
Yeah, yeah.
We could play games. Basically, getting drunk, though, that's the key.
Yeah.
So anything around and including getting drunk will entertain as a possibility.
Yes, and maybe Jen can work up her tongue twisters again.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be able to get Brian or maybe some other folks.
Mm-hmm.
We have not started planning this, and so that's where we're at.
Yep.
Womp womp. So if you have any ideas, please hit us up at discord.twobards.com.
Yes, in the
podcast discussion would be another great place to do it. There are a few channels. Find the one. I read all of them, so I'll find it no matter what.
I eventually read all of them. I just haven't been in front of the computer lately, so.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's a little harder for me to.
No, that's awesome, though.
Go back and forth.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, yes and no.
Yeah, well. All right, so we should get to our question from last week to the patrons, which I cannot read because there is an arm.
What do you do to push yourself past the wall?
The wall not being the bad guy from that Spider-Man Electric Company skit from the 70s, rather being the wall that you hit when you are so exhausted or so tired or so out of energy that it just seems like you can't go on.
Yes.
Casey Lee writes, I try to get cold or get moving. Both get the blood going. Yeah, that works.
That is absolutely true.
Hanging your pee socks out of the window.
Yeah.
We determined it was pee socks, right? That you
probably
put on your neck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the most
whatever
ready fluid
had.
I
yeah.
have. All right. Certainly not going to chew on them.
No. Ooh.
Yuck. Linkmaster General says, I find a quiet place to lie down. Set a timer for 21 minutes and then sleep. 20 minutes plus 1 minute to drift off to sleep. This is often a bed or couch at home. But if I've pulled an all-nighter, I have locked my office door and slept over my lunch break at work. When the timer goes off, I stand up, recommit, and keep plowing through.
Wow, there's like a bunch of stuff there that I just don't have access to.
Yes.
Like a timer, a lock, an office, a lunch break.
I'm just impressed that he can set a timer for 21 minutes, drift to sleep in 1 minute.
Yeah, that is impressive.
And comfortably rest for the 20 minutes. I would
toss
take 20 minutes to sleep, finally
fall into the deepest sleep ever for that 1 minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the alarm would go off. I have taken lunchtime when we're talking about work for these things.
Mm-hmm.
I have curled up under my desk when I was at Vision Service Group. And it was great because they had me in the back around the corner in the printing area.
Mm-hmm.
So super easy to do when the printer, binder, cutter, all of those things are going off the entire time. Super restful.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
Rob McLennan writes, at this point, I'm virtually immune to caffeine due to my Coke intake. Do you mean...
That's capitalized C.
Oh, capitalized C. Okay. up to this point that I get palpitations. As a result, to push through, I have to do it through sheer willpower, which is a lot more translucent than opaque willpower.
Yes.
Right. If I get to the point where that won't work, I'm just done, which is where we were last week.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was the hardest drive home because I just wanted to sleep.
Yeah. And that was the begin. I now realize why I felt that way, because I felt horrible for 3 days, including Thanksgiving. I mean, it was get up, try and cook. So I didn't even cook breakfast for people. Jen was a champ and took over and, you know, basically let me sleep until it was go time, and then had to get up and do that. But my Thanksgiving dinner consisted of 3 bites of potatoes, part of the turkey that was on my plate, and some green beans. It was the lightest Thanksgiving dinner I have ever eaten.
Nice.
Well,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. Nice in that it was low-cal dinner, but man, I was hungry once my illness went away. It was just like, I want the food now, please.
Yeah.
So thankfully, because of that, there are plenty of leftovers.
Yeah. So our question to you this week is a little weird because I had to come up with it on the spot, but it is something that I've been thinking about for a while. And it's, as mashup culture becomes a more and more marketable thing, mashup culture, of course, being things like, you know, My Little Pony being ridden by Doc and Marty in the Old West or whatever, you know, weird, stupid shit like that. It becomes more and more marketable. So more and more places are trying to capitalize on it by just crushing stuff together that makes no fucking sense. So what is the most nonsensical mashup you have either seen or could comprehend? The most stomach churning one. A couple of examples. I've seen, there was one that was, it was Tribbles, but the Tribbles were like in hats or something. And I don't know what the connection even was. But it was just Tribbles in hats from different properties.
Huh.
So like, a Tribble in a Batman cowl next to a Tribble in a, fucking the Buckaroo Banzai hat. It didn't make any fucking sense. It was stupid, and it was just a mashup for mashup's sake. And this is happening more and more frequently. If you've ever bought a t-shirt from anywhere, you likely get constant mailers from these companies like Redbubble or Spring Tea or whoever gives a fuck. But they're getting more and more ridiculous. The mashups are no longer interesting, right?
Yeah.
Like having Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man versus the Human Torch, that's at least meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a s'more kind of thing.
Or like the one shirt like that I bought with Groot and Rocket as Han and Chewie.
Yeah.
You know, that made sense. That was, to me, okay, there's two great properties, two iconic characters that you can, there's Groot with a bandolier, there's Rocket with Han's getup. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Huge character, small character. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And thankfully, that company has never sent me another email. But it's the only one in everything I've ever seen on the internet that made me go, okay, I will spend money on that.
But like stuff like that, I get. There was one, I'm trying to remember what it was. It's the Jurassic Park logo. I remember very much that it was the Jurassic Park logo with something that had nothing to do with dinosaurs, parks, skeletons, Jurassic anything. It was just a Jurassic Park logo with like
Hello Kitty.
It was like Batman or something, but I don't remember off the top of my head. And it was just like, you know, whatever park. But that wasn't even a pun or a play on words. It was just the Jurassic Park logo with something else in it.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
That's so fucking stupid. So Jurassic Park is like on the top of my list for don't mash it up unless you have a fucking reason to mash it up.
Yes.
You know, like geriatric park, at least it makes sense because they're dinosaurs or whatever, you know, haha, old people. And that's, I guess, fine.
Sunday, Monday park with Barney.
Yeah, like something like that. Okay, fine, you know, but don't just like throw a popple in the Ghostbusters car and think you're amazing.
Yeah.
Ernest fucking Klein, piece of shit. So what's the worst one you've seen or the worst one you could conceive of? Though I'd rather hear ones that are actually out there.
Yeah.
Because then it's useful. It's a warning. Avoid this.
With pictures on Discord.
With pictures. That would be amazing. Or links or whatever. And we'll make sure we get people pointed to the correct area.
Yeah. And stupid song mashup stuff is, I don't consider that.
Yeah.
That.
Like four chord song. Nah. Like that's just because of how music works. That's why.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, what's it called? Party Rock Anthem works with everything because it's 4/4 timing, which means it works with everything. They're dancing to 4/4 timing. It's not magic.
Yeah.
It's math. They're dancing to 4/4 timing. You know, if you ever find a song that's 3/4, you can put people waltzing over it and it'll look fine. Even if it's like hardcore punk, it'll look fine because that's how math works.
Yeah.
So nothing like that. But, you know, shoot us. Now, it would be kind of funny to do a popple popping out of the like the gizmo or the Mogwai enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of funny, but I still think it's kind of stupid.
I don't know what either of those things are.
You don't know what a popple is? You don't know what a Mogwai is?
No.
Mogwai is what Gizmo is from Gremlins.
I know what Gizmo is.
Howie Mandel played him.
Yeah, I know what Gizmo is.
Okay, so a popple is this little cute, furry, stuffed animal from about that time, actually. Maybe a little bit later. But they turn into, you can turn them inside out into a ball. A furry, like, plushy ball.
Okay.
And you turn them back inside out and it's a teddy bear kind of thing again.
Oh, okay.
So you could do one of those, I guess. That'd be at least they'd have a link.
Yeah.
Together, you know, but that's stupid.
Hmm.
But no, you gotta see
culture.
It, yeah.
Someone gets a brilliant idea once.
Look, it's yeah.
Gotta run it into the ground.
It's true. It's true. Like, oh look, it's RoboCop and a DeLorean. That doesn't fucking mean anything. That means nothing.
They're both stainless steel, man.
No. No. If you're going to do that, have RoboCop and just say, are you down with OCP? That's at least funnier, right? That's a thing. But you know me.
Yeah, so. I do. So the questions which come into discord.twobards.com and the ask-the-bards
channel.
Casey Lee asks, if jump scares are the new horror, will tickling people be the new stand-up comedy?
If it's me, it's going to be another horror.
Yes.
Someone fucking tickles me. I do not care for that.
No, that's going to be an amazing fight sequence.
Yes. Yes. I might hold my own child underwater until the bubbles stop if they tickle me. I don't care for it.
Yes.
I would not do that. I would not murder my children.
No.
I am not a mom from Texas, but I do not like it, and it would be a horror far quicker than it would be a comedy. I see what you're saying, though. And yeah, it's like, are we down to the Idiocracy, ow, my balls moment?
Yeah.
Where that's comedy, and, you know, like, jump scares are the only thing that horror can do. And it's very sad because you watch something like The Witch, which is where this question came from.
Mm-hmm.
You watch something like The Witch, and psychologically, it's terrifying. It's terrifying to imagine what it would be like to be a 13-year-old girl accused by your parents of consorting with the devil in a time when that is a death sentence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the blame. It's the, you know, your family's starving. Your mom's, like, literally going insane due to chemicals and to a very likely mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That is really scary.
Yeah.
but people are bored because there's nothing jumping out at them, you know? Same thing happened with the Babadook. Everyone thinks the scares in the Babadook are like the one or two where it's just where like the Babadook shows up. No, that's like, that's unnerving. It's unnerving. But what's terrifying is when she starts screaming at the kid because she's at the end of her rope and you don't know what she's going to do or what she's capable of. And you don't know if the kid's going to push her any further. That's actually terrifying. But modern audiences are either too stupid or too desensitized to pick up on anything. There's no empathy. It's like, if it doesn't relate directly to them, they're not scared. And the only thing you can do is freak out that idiot reptile brain by doing a jump scare, because it's the only thing that makes anyone feel anything.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I fucking hate it. I hate it. Get off the fucking internet if that's what it's causing. Just, you know, too many gifs of that fucking like lady with her face against the screen halfway through. Fuck that shit.
And for me, jump scares, I mean, it's
they can
in it's infrequent that I find them effective. When they're effective, I think they're great. But there's so much telegraphing, and that's what I liked, what we were talking about with the witch, is that they set it up for these jump scares. I also think the
Haunting
of Hill House, which I need to watch, but you know, they set you up for these things and then pull it away. That is another,
it's terror edging,
right,
is what it is.
It's getting you ready. Oh, okay, it's not there. Oh, okay, so it desensitizes you so that when there's a payoff, it's worth the payoff.
Yeah,
but like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I remember that put me off of horror films because I don't mind gore. I mean, especially when it's super
Certainly be a different world than with Bush. That's yes. for sure.
I don't want to say hyper real, but the fantastical gore.
I know you mean, yeah. But
blood and guts, you know, someone shoots someone and their head explodes.
Silicone face ripping shit. Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But when I saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre and I think it was Leatherface was cutting into his own hand.
Yeah, the realism is.
To me, that was just like, okay, that's off-putting to me, because to me, that's not entertaining. That's the thing that really gives me the willies. And, okay, I get that. I mean, that, okay, thank you for not being stupid about it. But at the same time, okay, that's not my cup of tea, which is what's put me off horror for so long. So then when Get Out came and I'm really excited to watch Haunting of Hill House or American Horror Story, those things were more smart horror stuff.
Subtle. The horror is more in your head than it is on the screen, which is where horror should live.
Yeah. You know, it's like McDonald's French fries. The vehicle is potatoes that are fried, but it's the secret sauce that contains animal that makes them so delicious. I understand that horror films, the bread and butter is, or the vehicle for a horror film is so that special effects people can, you know, do their magic. I get that, and that's fine, but yeah. Jump scares to just, it's dumb.
Rob McLennan asks, what is your new favorite keto-friendly Turkey Day food? Well, we just talked about it.
Yeah.
Potatoes.
Yes. Now, magic. Now that it's not the consistency of grits, which potatoes, even if you steam them or boil them or do them however you want and season it, cauliflower is an amazing vegetable in that if you do it properly, it does have a flavor profile of its own.
Yeah.
That is like my first experience was probably boiled cauliflower.
Yeah.
At my grandmother's.
Yeah.
That my dad made me eat, that 30 minutes later appeared on the floor out of my body. And dad said, okay, you really didn't like those. He felt horrible, and I was never forced to eat food again. Mm-hmm. But I understood, you know, grandma spent time making that. I should show some respect, and even if it's not my cup of tea, eat some. Mm-hmm. But I made such a big stink about the smell and the taste and all that. Now, having prepared it intelligently, it's really good. But adding that little bit of xanthan gum to give it, mm-hmm. now it's pleasurable in the mouth. I feel like, oh, I'm eating mashed potatoes. I could melt butter in there, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't just turn into soup. It would be a hearty substance that was holding some awesome melted butter.
There's a shirt I want. Scott C. Brown, pleasurable in the mouth. It's like one of those Japanese mystery.
No, Seth. No.
Seth?
No.
Seth?
No.
Seth? Do it, man.
Yeah, where's my strong like bull cartoon character, by the way? Oh, that's right. I'm not in Journey Quest anymore.
Oh, pom 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 pom.
Yeah, I think. Well, and the pumpkin cheesecake that I made you for your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I think is better than the pumpkin pie that I made. Mm. But again, I really went out on a limb thinking, ha, 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 I can do this.
He turned into a cartoon villain. Ha, 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 you'll never catch me, Batman. Not with my pumpkin pie.
Yeah, so I need to remember that I'm not so good I can't.
Swear to Gord.
Can't,
swear to me.
Can't bypass the test kitchen first. And iron out the kinks before I reveal it in prime time.
Mm. Well, that's it.
Yeah.
And that is kind of it. It was, yeah. Holidays. There's just not a lot going on to talk about.
Nope.
Unfortunately, we didn't get any, we didn't really get any further with, well, we got a lot further with story development, but that's for Scott's ears and not yours currently for yes. our potential spring shoot.
Yes.
We may put it to you folks, as to whether or not, kind of as to what the steps should be for us fundraising for this, because I don't really want to do a Kickstarter.
Yep.
And I think we can do it all out of pocket, but maybe going for something really low, like 15
mm-hmm.
is something we could actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you guys have no context for this at this point, but yeah. Just know that we have a film that's being worked on. It's being executive produced by Rob McLennan. It is being shot by myself. Scott and I will be pretty much producers on it. Tyler J. Hill will be writing it. And we're probably going to round robin directing or do a three-person directing gig. Hence the production company name, Three-Headed Monkey. So look behind you, a three-headed monkey. I want to share stuff with you, but until we go into production, I really can't. We
yeah.
are very close to being in true pre-production at this point. Once we have a script in hand, we are going.
Yeah, so. We talked about Castle Rock before we did it, and look where that got us.
No shit, J.J. Abrams. Well, that was way better. It was way better than what we... It was so good. Because I wanted Castle Rock to be like Friday the 13th, the series,
mm-hmm.
where it has nothing really to do. It's just stories in that framing context. And as far as Glass Cannon goes, that is still on the docket. But if we do this right... That will be paid for by someone else for mm-hmm. us to make a proper pilot.
Right.
And I would rather do this that we can do feasibly for a smaller amount of money. It's a feature film. I'll tell you that it is in the horror genre
mm-hmm.
Because it's cheap. Horror is cheap.
But no jump scares.
No jump scares. In fact, I think there's literally not a single jump scare in the current treatment we have.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. But it is horrifying.
Yeah.
And very funny. Bitingly funny. So I'll talk to you a little bit about that in a bit. But yeah. we're really looking forward to doing this. We have most of the stuff we need. It's going to be a couple of rentals, maybe a drone rental for a day, stuff like that. So we do need to figure out a way to either juggle our own budgets to get that done or to fundraise for it, because basically what it'll be is Scott, Tyler, and I, and a couple of other people will be taking no money whatsoever until we get distribution or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying our actors. That's 100% going to happen.
Yep.
And we're paying anybody that we use who's not us, mm-hmm. who isn't part of, you know, we have some people like Aaron's doing costuming for free.
Right.
But, you know, she is. Taylor Berman is doing AD for free because he is. And that's fine because yeah. they're ingrained in a different way. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to getting something done that's going to allow me to write a check back to an investor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm so excited to do that, that I'm trying not to jump the gun and just do it. But, you know, like, I think this one's gonna stick.
Yep.
So really excited about it, and I can't wait to share more with you folks. But until then, all we can do is say, yeah, huge thanks.
Huge thanks to our Patreon patrons.
Hawk Robinson.
Leslie, James Peters.
Leslie Sedlak.
Rob McLennan.
Stuart Hume.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Gordon D. Duke.
Dennis Nickel.
Jay Blanken.
Casey Lee.
Dougie Sharp.
Seth M. Davis.
Todd McKimmy.
Lotta Jerf.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Bo Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy.
Thank you very much. Happiest of holidays to all of you and yours.
Yeah.
Turkey is a country.